All right, as we look in Galatians chapter 6, we kind of looked at it a little bit on last week, but I just want to bring us up to date since we're starting on Galatians chapter 6. I want to start out by asking some questions for you to consider as you look within, examine your lives. And the question is, who are we and who are we trying to be? Are we children of God who are saved by grace and who are filled with the Spirit? And are we trying to keep in step with the Spirit? Are we really people who are sowing to the Spirit? Or are we actually people who just give lip service to the Spirit, but are really sowing to the flesh? And so, we want to do what's right. We know that because Paul struggled with that. Paul struggled with trying to do what was right. And there's a battle that is going on. We are battling with the flesh and with the Spirit. And that's why it's understood that as we go through life that we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up every now and then, but we have to get back up on our feet, and we got to ask God to forgive us, and we just got to keep on keeping on. And so, but as we're looking at those questions, and as we're considering those questions, these are critical questions, but they have eternal consequences. And so as we look in Galatians chapter 6, and what we see Paul doing in Galatians chapter 6, the first part is he's giving some concrete illustrations of what it means to live as a Christian who is guided by freedom in the Spirit. In other words, how should we really spiritual, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided people, how should we be living? And that's a good question. And so Paul will give us the answers to that question. As we look at Galatians chapter 6, and we looked at verse 1, but we're just going to go back and look at it again. Paul says, he started out by saying, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so in this verse, and Paul explains two ways, even in verse 2, how we can bear the burdens of those around us, and they are restoring the fallen and helping the hurting. And so as we explore these activities of spiritual people, we need to keep in mind that they are not ministries that is just reserved for the preacher or the elders or the deacons or the leaders. Rather, they are ministries for all spiritual people who are willing to get involved and become burden bearers for Jesus. So, he says now, he starts out by saying, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," those who have fallen, how can we help them? And so Paul gives us the answers. But as you look at this, he says, if a man be overtaken, when you look at this word overtaken, the word overtaken is an interesting word. It means taken beforehand. It means surprise. It means unexpectedly. It also is a word that means caught. It was something used for a bird, an animal who got caught in a trap. And so it describes a believer whose leg is caught in the trap of sin. And so what is needed then by a person in this situation? They need someone to see that they are caught, or for someone to hear their cry for help. So the first answer that Paul addresses is that the fallen one are people who are trapped by sin. And then Paul says, he goes on and say that they require the help of not just anybody, but they require the help of spiritual people. But here is the problem sometimes. The problem sometimes is that we have so many people who are not spiritual trying to correct those who have been overtaken in a fault. No, Paul says, if a person is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. And when you look at this phrase, ye which are spiritual, in this context, it describes those who are walking in the Spirit, who are filled with the Spirit, who are producing the fruit of the Spirit, and are keeping in step with the Spirit. And since this is not meant to describe a certain class of super spiritual saints, it really applies to everyone who loves the Lord and want to please Him and keep in step with Him. And then the third answer Paul gives is right there in verse 1. He said they must be restored in the spirit of meekness. So he tells us how they need to be restored. And they need to be restored in spirit of meekness and gentleness. Not talking about them, not telling everybody what they did, but the word, when you look at the word restore was used for setting a broken bone and for mending a fishing net. And if you have ever had a broken bone, then you know how painful that can be. And if the doctor is rough, he can make your pain much worse. And so that's why the work of spiritual restoration must be done gently. Meekness, not high-minded. And so they must be done by spiritual people. But then finally, Paul, he talks about considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The final answer that Paul is saying that they must be approached carefully. You got to approach them carefully. And so here's a warning that we all need to consider. Paul says that we must be careful in helping, lest we should be tempted. Because why is that? Why is that? Because Satan he has a lot of tricks. He knows if he can get one Christian trapped in sin, he may soon get another, and then another. That's why Satan works in a little, just like flypaper we said on last week. That's why he works just like flypaper. In other words, if one fly gets stuck, then another comes along and it tries to help, and then the second fly will also get stuck. So the sin may get caught in while trying to help another who is in sin, may be the same sin that they are stuck in, or it may be more than not some other sin that is helping get us caught in. I'm talking about the sin of pride. And so we need to understand that. Are y'all still with me? So we need to understand that. Someone was trying to cut in on my lesson. And so then we have to understand. Look at verse 2. In verse number 2, he goes on and said, now he says, now after he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The second thing that we need to see is in verse 2, is that while you are helping one another, while you are restoring one another, you need to bear one another's burden. That's why he says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, when you look at verse 2, the carrying of the burden of verse 2 refers to an overwhelming load, an impossible huge boulder weighing a person down as they travel along the highway. And when you think about this burden in verse 2, the burden may be things like sickness. It may be things like calamity or financial difficulty or broken dreams or failed marriage or family problems or career setbacks or even the death of loved ones. And when we look around our congregations, we see people suffering from a lot of these burdens. But what I find is that I find it significant that in both cases, the cases of those fallen into sin and those who are burdened, Paul doesn't focus on the specifics of the sins or burdens. What matters to Paul is this, is that we do something to help our brothers and sisters regardless of the circumstances. See, what we need to learn is that people ought to feel comfortable coming to members of the church when they're going through some things. But we find some don't. Well, here's the question. Why? If anybody that they ought to be able to come to, it ought to be Christians. It ought to be the child of God. But why? Why don't they do that? Well, some people are not spiritual, even though they are members of the church. Some will come to them and say, listen, we got some issues. But here's the problem, is the reason that some people don't want to go to some members is because that they can't keep it to themselves, because they'll start spreading it to everybody else. Child, did you know what so-and-so is going through? So what happens is that they keep it to themselves because they don't know who to trust. Listen to me tonight. We have to grow to a point that if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be members of the Church of Christ, we got to stop doing that. Those that are spiritually sick, those that are hurting, those that are discouraging, they need to know when they come to you that you can be trusted. So here's the question. Here's the question that I want all of us to ponder on tonight. And that is, are you a person that can be trusted? Are you a person that someone can talk to and their business is not spread it everywhere? So we need to understand that, because Paul says, listen, there are going to be some folk that are going to come to you that have been overtaken in a fault. But you're going to have to be spiritual. Not only that, you're going to have to restore them in the spirit of meekness. You're going to have to be able to bear one another's burden, by doing so, you are fulfilling the law. By helping somebody carry their burden, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a fulfillment of the law. So what better demonstration of our love is there than helping people carry their burdens? Then he says, be careful. Look at verse 3. When you look at verse 3, he says, but if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Paul is perhaps speaking of some of the Galatians because of their being Jews, who thought themselves to be better than others. The thing that will make them nothing in this case is the fact that they are still looking to the law instead of grace. And so what Paul is mentioning, and to help us tonight, is that he is mentioning a danger that you and I need to avoid, and that is pride prevents us from bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. It is often pride that keeps us from ministering to one another as we should. And as much as anything, pride is self-focused. Pride doesn't necessarily say, I'm better than you are, but pride simply say, I'm more important than you are. So Paul says, listen, if a man think himself, now notice what he said, if a man think himself, when a man think himself to be morally above reproach, he has no sympathy with the flaws of others. So when we see our brother or sister stuck or suffering, we must not be too proud to get involved. Because why is that? Because, listen, it's easy to look down our nose and say they deserve it. I know I would never have done something like that. I saw it coming, or maybe they'll listen to me next time. It's easy to do that. It's easy to condemn and look the other way and pass by on the other side. And because when we are filled with pride and think we are something special, then we find it's easy to judge and condemn. But when we have humility, that's the key. When we have humility and think that we are nobody apart from the grace of God, then we are quick to forgive. Then we are quick to have compassion. Then we are quick to offer a helping hand. So to put it another way, the more conscious we are of our own sinfulness, the more forgiving and patient we will be with the failures of others. And so Paul, he goes on. Then he said, listen, you're going to have to take a look at yourself. In verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Instead of deceiving ourselves, we must take a careful and sober examination of our works before God. And so he says, but let every man prove his own work. It refers more to conduct and behavior. See, we have to keep busy examining our own work, examining our own life. And notice that believers who constantly examine himself has reasons to rejoice in himself. Because he says, notice, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. What did that mean? It means having joy at your own work, walk with the Lord, instead of feeling spiritual because someone around you perhaps is overtaken in a trespass. And so you need to rejoice in your walk with the Lord, but in the meantime, you're helping somebody else to bear their burdens. But also you're helping somebody else who is overtaken in a fault because you are spiritual. You are helping them and you are restoring them into a spirit of meekness because you're considering yourself that I could be that person. And then in verse 5, he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, when you look at verse 5, it may sound like it contradicts verse 2. But there is no contradiction, because Paul, he uses two different Greek words and was speaking of two different kinds of burdens. In verse 2, he used the word meaning a heavy burden. But in verse 5, he uses a word meaning a soldier's pack. So in verse 2, he uses the word a heavy burden is where we can come alongside and help them. But then in verse 5, a soldier's pack means that there are some things that you're going to have to do and carry for yourself. And so, yes, we should help each other bear the heavy burdens of life. But there are personal responsibilities that each person must bear for themselves. And that primary personal responsibility is our personal relationship with God. It's our personal relationship with God. No one can carry that one for us. Our relationship with God, that's something that we got to carry for ourselves. So Paul, he says, listen, for every man shall bear his own burden. There are some things that you're going to have to bear on yourself, but there are some things that you can help somebody else to be able to bear. But then he shifts gears in verse 6. In verse number 6, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So when you look at verse 6, he's having a reference to teachers, ministers. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, in 1 Corinthians 9:14, it said that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. When you look at the word communicate, to communicate in this text denotes the act of giving, and good things mean the things necessary to life. So it has the idea focus on financial support, but not limited to it. In many of Paul's letters, if you remember, he stressed the principle that those who minister the word of God deserve to be financially supported to do so. Then 1 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, Philippians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Timothy 5. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Timothy 5. William Barclay once wrote that if a man is teaching you eternal truths, the least you can do is share with him such material things as you possess. If God has shown you something about the word of God, then you are to share with other teachers so that they can teach the truth also, but also help with the day-to-day needs of the teacher. But also you got to remember Paul. You recall Paul being supported financially? It was a privilege that Paul worked hard not to take advantage of. Because a lot of times you would see Paul making that. So evidently there was some problems with this church in Galatia, the reason that Paul is addressing this. Perhaps they made some good starts with financial supporting their elders and their teachers, but had become wary in well-doing. Perhaps some was arguing that they were free in Christ to use their money for other things. We don't know what they were saying, but we do know that of all the things Paul might mention that spiritual people should be doing, he chose to mention relieving the financial burdens of those who teach God's word. And so Paul's closest parallel to this passage would say in 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? And I just want to stop here because I want to just take a minute to just compliment Ypsilanti Church of Christ, the congregation. I'm so very appreciative the way that this church family has shared all good things with us and has so very well supported us since we've been here, and we've been having a good working relationship together. You've been a generous people, and so we just want to appreciate you on that. And so that's what spiritual people are supposed to do. They are supposed to help one another out. Spiritual people are good stewards of their money and cheerfully invest their money in spiritual things. And so that's what Paul is trying to get them to understand. Listen, let him that is taught in the word, listen, if you've been taught in the word, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And so as our time is about winding up, when you look at verse 7, Paul tells them the reason. And for those who wanted to hesitate, Paul gives them the reason that they need to. In verse 7 through verse number 9, he begins to talk about it. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we'll pick that up and discuss that, because in those verses 7 through 10, spiritual people sow what is good. And we're going to look at that on next week. And as we're getting close to ending Galatians chapter 6, I want you to start reading in Ephesians. We'll be going to Ephesians next after we get through with Galatians chapter 6. So at this time, we will be unmuting, and if there's any prayer requests, we'll give way to that.